Joining us down the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. We'll look back on the weekend, but we're talking about tomorrow night, Game 7, and I think all the pressure's on the Maple Leafs. I don't think there's a ton of pressure on the Bruins. How do you feel about it?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure if we were sitting in Boston, we'd say, you know, that the Bruins are at home and they're supposed to win, and there's, you know, if they don't win, it'll be a disappointing year. And, you know, I guess what I'm saying is you can tailor it to whichever market you're in, because in particular, because these are two places that, you know, have different sets of expectations, but really the same expectation. In Boston, it's like, okay, we got a good team, and Bergeron's getting older, and Krejci's getting older, and Chara's already old, and man, we got to win. We got to win now. And then in Toronto, it's like, okay, we've been all season long. It's been a good team. Great, it's a good team, but can we win the one game that we haven't been able to win over the last few seasons? And so I don't know that anybody really has less of a feel of pressure tomorrow. I mean, there'll be some guys that'll tell us that, oh, it's just another game and I'm just going in to play. And yeah, I know it's game seven, but you know, I'm not going to treat it any differently. And for anybody that's in a game, ever been in a game seven, they know that they're lying because it's not the same. I think the pressure is deep for both of them.
How difficult is it for a team, in this case, the Maple Leafs, to recover from such a missed opportunity like yesterday afternoon?
Oh, you know, I don't know, Brian. Like it seemed like it was all sitting there for them, and then when Riley scored, you know, it kind of had like, oh boy, like they can get another one here, and then they take two penalties, they can't kill it, and then it must have felt like they bobbled one away. You know, like it had to feel like that.
Ray, Blake Wheeler said after they gave up that Schwartz goal with 15 seconds left, the next game they lost, obviously, in St. Louis, and he came out and said, he goes, we couldn't recover from, like, we just, mentally, we were just down, and we couldn't recover from that. It just took all the energy out of us, and we couldn't get it back on track.
Well, that can be the case. I did that game, they had six shots after two periods.
Yeah.
So whatever they had, it was nothing. And so, like, they didn't have any gas. They didn't have, you know, I mean, they had one shot in the second period in a game that was 1-0. And then they had nothing. It was like it was a 1-0 game that felt like it was 10-0. So it would feel like a missed chance, don't you? We all must think that. But man, it's like game seven. Like, you got one chance to, you know, to erase all the crap from last year and all the stuff that was kicked around about this team this year, and then a chance to knock the Bruins out. It's almost like in Vancouver when they finally beat the Blackhawks, because the Blackhawks just kept using them as a doormat for years, and then finally Burrow scored in double overtime, and that was it. They were through. You know, that helped springboard them through to a Stanley Cup final thereafter, you know, pretty soon, next couple of years. This is what that game can be tomorrow for them, is that they can springboard themselves past not just, yay, the first round, yay, a game seven, but the Bruins, the team that has kind of kicked them around a little bit over the last couple of years. It's a great opportunity for them.
What have you made of John Tavares' play? I know he's had a matchup where it's Bergeron and Marchand, but overall, would you think he'd be the guy that needs to step up in a game seven?
Yeah, just okay, I think. Like, here's what I find, like, with those guys that are in those matchup things against, you know, a guy like Bergeron, he doesn't make many mistakes. So whether Bergeron's had a good series or not, he doesn't make many mistakes. So you end up playing to a standstill. And certainly Marner's not had the impact that he had over the course of the full series that he did last year. So, you know, he just kind of blend into everything. You know, he's not bad. I mean, it's not been that, but he hasn't been great. They haven't had a lot of chances. I guess what I don't see from them is they don't have that. They don't have the puck in the zone a lot, mm-hmm. where they get a chance and then they get it back and they get another chance, and then Marner darts around and they get another chance. And maybe they don't score, but there hasn't been many of those.
Seems like it's a lot of, like, kind of get it and then a cycle and then maybe another cycle, and then the cycle's broken up and it's out of the zone.
But a lot of that
it's never at the net,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, it never gets to where they get really scary. And I don't know. I look at the Bruins' defense and I'm like, man, I think you can break that defense down, but they haven't really been able to. Like, there are times Chara looked like he's 42. Mm-hmm. And you're like, man, they got to be able to move him around a little bit. But he's just always seems to be just enough in the way still.
See, I think Marner's got more of an opportunity in that case than Tavares, because
the matchup.
Well, yeah,
on that side.
Tavares
right?
He's not a burner. He's not overly, you know, he's really smart, but he's going to physically try to overcome that battle with Bergeron and then with Char. Those are two waves that are very difficult to do that.
Right.
Let's say you get through Bergeron. Well, you got a 6'9" monster waiting for you.
Who's got a 38-foot stick
waiting
that just
for
pokes
you.
Away things.
Marner's got the capability of he's what his craft is, and he does it better than most people in the league. He gets it and he finds the open ice. He'll slow it down, and then he's got a cerebral vision to him where he's like, okay, I'm going to take two steps over here, and then that gives me an extra 3 feet somehow.
Yeah.
I don't think he's been able to expose the Bruins or utilize his best assets the past couple of games.
But you know why I see that is because of the Bruins' support. Like, there's no open ice out there. He's looking for open ice. Believe me, he wants open ice. But you start zoning in on Chara, and all of a sudden, Coyle's there, or you know, Bergeron or Krejci. Like, the support they've had from their centermen down low I think it's been fantastic. And you know, I think the Leafs, when they won their games, how many times did we circle Austin Matthews? The game-winning goal the other day, Austin Matthews supports the play down low. He takes an extra half second to kick it wide to Johnsson. That creates speed. Johnsson throws it seam or yeah, across
Morgan
ice
Riley to Johnsson.
I'm sorry, yeah, sorry, Morgan Riley.
Yeah.
But that play was because of support. I think the Bruins have done a really good job of limiting time and space. When Chara does get in trouble, he's got help.
Well, but here, yes, he does, and like I don't think any team's done it better than St. Louis and Winnipeg did for most of their series. There was like, because there was nowhere to go. I mean, aside from the teams were really evenly matched, they positionally were always right. Like somebody make two passes, and then there's like three more guys standing there, and you're like, where did he come from? And that's what it has seemed like at times for both teams, and. You know, we all sat on those panels at the start, and we were picking our winners. And I think most of us had the Bruins, but most of us had them at seven games. And it's easy to pick the number. It's hard to predict what the road's going to be like to get to that number. And so, it never seems to be like, you know, one team dominates and the other, then the other, then the other. If you get to seven games, you're probably both the same. And so now you've got, if you think a third of the game tomorrow will be pretty even. Like, teams will be feeling themselves out. And then another third, somebody will have the advantage. And then that last third is going to be the one where it's decided. Who's going to make a big mistake that you can't recover from? And the big mistake might be you're down 1-0 and somebody burps up a puck and it's 2-0 and you never recover. But I think tomorrow will be... I would be stunned if it's not a really tight, close game. And not all game sevens are.
Yeah, great.
So closer to game five, it was very conservative. Like the 2-1 Leaf win Friday night, it was incredibly conservative.
And it really was. But
exactly.
I think that works in the Leafs' favor.
That's what Babcock's promoting. Like that's what, you know, someone had the audacity to ask him today. Do you think your team should start cheating a little bit and really going for it? And he's like, no, the complete opposite, but thanks for coming out.
Yeah.
Like, he has no interest in a track meet. And I think, you know, we were talking about it, and this is a good segue into the Nylander line, the way that line is built, because it's such a polarizing line for multiple reasons. You know, William Nylander and the year that he's had, Patrick Marleau, where he's at in his career. I think Babcock is effectively... He's asking them to saw off that matchup. He's not asking them to win it because he doesn't think they can on either end of the rink. Because I think he's got Marlowe and Brown with those with Nylander to protect him in the defensive end. And then in the offensive end, he knows it's basically going to be Nylander on an island because Marlowe and Brown just simply are not going to create on their own.
Right.
And that's, you talk about just basically not necessarily playing to the odds, but right. playing, coaching conservatively in a way. He's just like, I'm not going to sneak Ennis in for a shift here. I'm not going to sneak Marner on his right side with Nylander. He's just like, saw it off and get off the ice, keep it out of your own net, and I'll accept it at this point.
But you know what? In a game seven, like, which is now, of course, you know, win and go on or lose and go home, is if, say, the Tavares line starts and there's a run of play and they get through the lines a couple of times and you get to the 14:20 mark, for example, of the first period, and there's a whistle and Nylander's line's supposed to go out. You can put Marner on that wing because the next whistle's a commercial.
Right.
So you might be able to steal a shift or two or three where you get Marner out there with Nylander.
Wouldn't you say, Ray, like, just roll the three? I mean, that fourth line, I know Trevor Moore's got a goal, but just empty the tank on those three lines and see what happens.
Well, I'm not into... Like, the conservative stuff I get, but I think there's a time you can be aggressive while not losing your mind.
Exactly.
Like I think there are times, there's no reason your big boy shouldn't be at 20-plus tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Just play them. Play them.
Nothing to save it for. Go.
Yeah, and what do you think Marchand's minutes are going to be tomorrow night?
Oh, he'll play 23 minutes tomorrow night.
Yeah, like, he's going to come back to the bench and... It, you know, and Cassidy's going to have his finger pointed back out on the ice. Turn around. Go back there. Like, you have to, right? Like, you just have to in a game like that.
They're the guys that are going to make the positive play for you. You can throw out your fourth line, but in my experience, they're going to chip in with the goal, but I think the majority of the times you talked about the guys that burp up a puck and you can't recover from it. If you play with fire, they can oftentimes be the guys that do it.
The other thing tomorrow is they better find a way to kill a penalty.
Well, no kidding.
What would you do there, Ray? Like, everyone's thrown out a million different ideas. I mean, yesterday, the first one is simply Zach Hyman cannot beat Patrice Bergeron. Nobody could yesterday. But Hyman fantastic. Definitely can. It's unfair to Hyman to expect him to do it. Like, Bergeron's
Brian,
one of the all-time
greats.
We've talked
about this all year. They're asking a winger to do a center's job.
Right.
They've asked him to do it all year, and I think his numbers are right around, you know, are decent. They're around 50, but they're asking him. You go into the circle against one of the very best of the last 10 years in the face-off circle. You're going to lose.
Yeah.
You just are. They can't fix it now because that's the way their team is constructed. I did like how they're trying to keep the puck out of Bergeron's hands. Like, I like that. That's a starting point. The thing has to go there. So really, you have to decide where do you want the shot to come from. I don't want Pasternak to shoot it. I don't love Krug shooting it, but he's 60 feet away. I got some time to do some defensive work against that, but I don't want it into Bergeron's hands. It just gets too mucked up when it gets in there.
They're going to have that. Marcus Johansson, me and Jamie were watching. He had the puck at the side of the net, and Ron Hainsey didn't even go after him.
He was
like, well, "Go do whatever you want with it." So they better watch out for that low play because they're going to create a 2-on-1 in front of the net. He could have just taken it to the net, and Hainsey was just standing in front saying, "Do whatever you want."
Which I mean. I guess it's the least of all the evils, technically, with what you have on that power play.
But he's a skilled enough guy where he can make
the play. And he's a left-handed shot on a strong side off the goal line. And as we all know, especially in a game seven, it may be a moldy goal that gets it done. You fire it back door and it hits a skate and goes in. It could be the same way on the Leafs power play.
Well, they need to get rocking there, too.
That's true, but that's special teams are a difference in the playoffs. Ask Thomas Hertl. Guy scores in double overtime last night. A shorty.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, ultimately, it's going to be the storyline, but I think the Leafs have to find a way to have some desperation. It would help if you stay out of the box. As we talked about, Ray, before, fairly or unfairly, it's Trevor Moore and Travis Dermott who take the penalties last night. That's who we're circling. You know, if it's Austin Matthews, there's a little bit more leeway. When you're a little bit farther down in the lineup, the light shines a little bit brighter.
Absolutely.
On you.
Can't happen. Cannot happen.
It does, but it can't.
I know.
It does happen, but it's like you can't. You just can't. And you know, there's the maybe the best piece of advice I've heard about playing a big game is don't try to be a hero, just try to be you. Don't try to play the best game you've ever played, just play your game. Right. Because if you have enough guys that play your game, like play their own game, you're probably going to be okay. But the harder you try to make the perfect play, or if you're a fourth line guy and you're going to race around and try and make an impact physically, and then you take a late, you know, you get a hit in there late and it's an elbow, and then you sit in the box for a goal, well, your impact is negative. And so for tomorrow, like those guys are going to be so excited. Like, these games are the best, man. They are just so fun to play. But I remember early in my career, and I played in three of them, like, couldn't sleep, couldn't focus, played the game in my head a million times, played crappy. By the time I got to my third one, I was like, I'd done this before, and it felt way better. And so you got to find a way to slow down and just be yourself. That's really the best way forward if the guy can manage it. And maybe some can't.
Well, I always find that interesting that every athlete says the same thing. These are the games you live for. There's so much fun. But I can't imagine they're fun in the moment. Like, what's fun about not sleeping and about being a nervous wreck?
Yeah.
And, you know, it'd be fun afterwards, especially if you win.
Once you get out of the ice, though, it's all gone. That's the fun element of it. It's everything leading up to that's not fun.
I agree, Ray. This is one of the things I said earlier. It's amazing once the puck drops. Getting up to that puck drop is it's a little scary. It is scary. That's the thing. But you have to play scared. You have to play inside your head a little bit. There are other guys, I don't know how many guys you played with, Ray, but I'm sure we can name a few, that had amazing sleeps, like no stress in their lives whatsoever, and they're usually the top-end players that just kind of show up and know what to do. I've told this story before. Grant Fear, before the game 7 in Phoenix one night, just stands up and goes, guys, get me a goal. We'll be fine here. Like, we're all looking at him like, what the hell's this guy? Where'd this guy come from? He doesn't say a word, and then pitches a shutout that night. Like, it's amazing some of the guys have the ability at the most pressure situation to have that, what is it, for the love of the game, clear the mechanism?
Yeah.
Like, just...
Don't you think it's easier, though, when you've got your rings already?
Oh, for sure.
Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Fears, he's been there and done it on so many levels.
He's already won so many cups. And that's not to say he didn't want to win.
No, but...
But if he didn't win, he's still got his cups.
Exactly.
You know, like, if Tiger doubles on 18, he's still got four jackets.
Yeah, that's fair. Know? That's like, fair. You're right.
It seems a little bit easier when you've already got the hardware. With Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. Quickly on the other Canadian teams that went out over the weekend, the Jets and the Flames, better chance at redemption in a deep run next spring, Calgary or Winnipeg?
I'm going to say Winnipeg with a qualifier. They've got 14 guys that are free agents, either restricted or unrestricted. They've got some salary cap issues. They're going to have to decide between some players. But I'm going to take them because I think they've got, you know, their core of their team, which will be back, is still very good. So, like, their defense is going to look different. You know, like, is Trouba going to be back? Is Myers going to be back? Is Sherratt going to be back? That's three of their top six guys. They're not going to be able to afford all three. Are they going to trade Trouba? Are they going to sign Myers? Can they afford Sherratt, who might price himself out of the mix? So, like, that's on the back end. Up front, you got Ehlers and Line A, you've got Connor and Line A that you have to deal with. Kevin Hayes isn't going to be back. He was a disappointment for them. And then you've got Ehlers, who hasn't scored a goal in 21 playoff games. Like, eventually you're going to have to make a decision on him. So I think the Jets are going to look very different, but I still think that they're going to be a very good team. Calgary, on the other hand, they don't have a goalie signed. You can't really think that Mike Smith is going to play like he did for most of this series. Next year, he's going to be a year older. I mean, I guess you can think it, but it would be a bad bet in my view. Can Mark Giordano at age 36 do what he did at age 35? He's probably going to step back a little bit. I don't know. They're just – Calgary concerned me because they had an issue with the speed of Calgary or of Colorado, and if they don't change that, then they're not going to be able to beat up on a Pacific division that isn't very good like they did this year.
Right.
You know, they put a lot of points in the bank against LA and Anaheim, and those guys couldn't beat anybody.
And I think also the narrative around there, fairly or unfairly, is their top line in a couple playoffs here hasn't produced. Like Johnny Gaudreau,
Johnny Gaudreau and Monahan,
they have targets on them right now because, you know, we talked about Austin Matthews coming into this playoff,
that's
right?
That's what comes with the territory.
And you have to elevate. And when you get paid a lot of money and you're fantastic in the regular season and then you're not dominant in the playoffs, you're not shining a light on the fourth line. Like Derek Ryan's not taking the hit today in Calgary. It's the big boys.
As it should be.
He missed three breakaways.
You're right.
He almost killed himself on the post.
I know.
Yeah. One of them. Like what that is the personification of a guy who's so rattled and can't get out of his way.
Yeah.
Like you talk about a guy with all the pressure in the world on him and he knows it. How many, like, that never happens. Fourth line plugs don't run into the post on a breakaway.
No, the net's been anchored in the same spot for 150 years. Not like it's a surprise.
Not his first rodeo. Like that, right when you saw that, you're like, this guy can't get out of it. He can't get out of the way of the net, let alone his own way.
Missed the net on, like just a wrister that missed the net on a penalty shot.
Ugly. Ugly. Yeah. Well, we'll see. All right, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow on TF Game 7.
Yeah, I'm actually on my way in a couple hours going down to San Jose to do Vegas and San Jose's Game 7 with Gord. So we're pretty excited about that. And we're
when did you find that out?
Drop in and do that.
When did you find that out?
This morning.
Yeah, I saw on Gord's Twitter feed. So
well, is Gord hooking
he said
up
you guys are not done yet. That's
there
what
you
it
go.
Was.
Wow. So. The dynamic
duo. Found out this morning, and I was like, I got some games to watch.
That building will be rocking. Like San Jose dodged a bullet last night.
Yeah.
Marty Jones was ridiculous. But
hey,
you know what my
wins
favorite play of that game was? Was in overtime when Englund was lying on his back.
Yeah.
Spread
Snow
eagle
angel.
Trying to keep the like. I don't think I've ever really seen it like that.
Yeah.
Like and then all of a sudden the puck was like somewhere else.
And Merrill, wasn't Merrill there too?
Oh yeah, right on top of him.
They pulled it right off the goal line.
I don't know much about goaltending, but if both of your defensemen are behind the goalie, that's probably not a good place to be.
Nope.
All right, well, two game sevens tomorrow night. We'll tee up at 5 p.m.
We'll talk to you
time.
From California, boys.
There
have
you
a
go.
Good one.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are back. Purchase any new vehicle and get a $500 gift certificate to Appliance Canada, plus get rates from 0%. Visit MapleToyota.com.